But let's talk some Chiefs football with our Chiefs contributor over at SI on Chiefs. He is Joshua Briscoe. And Josh, good to have you on the show again, man. Let's start with the Juju Smith-Schuster injury. That was a surprise yesterday when all of a sudden we all saw on the injury report, limited in practice, hamstring issue. That's never a good thing. You've covered the team for a while. A Thursday injury popping up, especially as a veteran.
Yeah, and again, you know, it could be nothing, right? Limited means anything between all but one of your snaps and one snap. And so, you know, you expect in that circumstance that Juju probably felt something tighten up in that hammy yesterday. They went ahead and pulled him out, and they're going to see how he looks today. I am not yet buying the worst case scenario that he will not play on Sunday, but I am absolutely concerned, in part because obviously Juju has kind of a long-standing injury history, although it mostly kind of revolves around his knees, although I'm, you know, no physician, but I think your hamstring and your knees are relatively closely connected. But I am hoping for the best, preparing for a borderline comical worst case scenario where Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, and Mecole Hardman now are your 1, 2, and 3 receivers. Not exactly the recipe you'd like for a sort of Super Bowl rematch.
So in that case, they just throw to Travis Kelce 35 times, or like what's, I mean,
It's like birthday spankings. It's one target for each year he's been alive.
Like, I just, like, it's hard to imagine a world in which I wouldn't do it that way. I did want to mention, you know, Gold mentioned that we have the fan club at 1 o'clock. You know, we ought to do your segment on a Friday one time at just 1 o'clock. You can come in and talk Chiefs, but instead you can drink.
Yeah, that sounds fabulous. I mean, I am drinking now. I've never done an episode of your guys' show not with a little drink in my hand. But to do that in like an officially sanctioned way would be great.
What's the best morning drink anyway? Gold's a big screwdriver guy I've seen based on mornings in Vegas. What's your go-to morning alcoholic drink if you're drinking in the AM?
I have had a couple of like cream liqueurs that have come through as a good coffee additive. If you're going to catch me on like a Sunday morning in the fall, maybe the Chiefs have the night game or you get the little Monday night coming up against Tampa in a couple weeks. A couple Sunday mornings from now, I will be perusing some, there's a butter cake cream liqueur that I threw in a coffee last year a few times. That's the winner for me.
Smart.
I mean, right now.
We're talking to Joshua Briscoe. He's the editor over at ChiefsOnSI.com. He joins us every Friday here on Cody and Gold. More on the Juju part in terms of long term. You mentioned what it could mean for Sunday, obviously, and it could be an ugly looking just wide receiver room name wise. But does this just give you more reason that they need to go and make a trade based off of, hey, this was the concern that, hey, he might be productive, Juju, but can his body hold up across the season getting the kind of workload? Here we are. It's only after one game and it's a post bye. And he's popping up on the injury report.
This is why I was telling you guys all offseason, do not throw away your Marquez Valdez-Scantling jerseys. You're going to want to have those again by the midseason mark. No, you're right. I mean, and I think we talked about this last week or whenever we talked after the Saints game. You can win games with Juju in 2024 as your number one receiver, but that can't be the plan. Even, and obviously, it was not plan A, B, C, or D. The dude wasn't on the team in training camp, but at this point now, it would be just as irresponsible as it was last year to say, oh, I think, you know, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, we think have wide receiver 1 and 2 potential. So we're just going to kind of lean on them and see what happens. At this point, knowing where this receiver room is, knowing that it's clearly the biggest weakness on the roster and that this is otherwise a Super Bowl caliber roster, obviously around that position group, they absolutely have to do something. And frankly, with absolutely no sarcasm, I think they'd probably rather have MVS running routes than Justin Ross at this point. And so for that reason, maybe MVS is waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers gives him a call also. Just fully free.
Yeah, Mike, the New York Packers, yeah.
Yeah, go do other things with the rest of your life and go find one of the two quarterbacks that he's had success with in the past. But that's the problem now, guys, is they need depth and they need a starter. MVS isn't a starter, obviously. He's barely depth. But if it is a Deontay Johnson type or whoever ends up remaining around out there, and maybe they're testing Xavier Worthy on Sunday to see what he looks like in a more wide receiver one type of role. Even that I can't guarantee, though, because the game plan was in place when Juju pulled up yesterday. So, I mean, I'm sure they can tweak some things, but it's maybe that we got lucky and this was always going to be a huge Worthy game and we'll be able to see that. But barring some sort of outrageous confidence that Worthy can inject into the entire coaching staff. They've got to do something else, because otherwise you're relying on this older veteran that has an injury history and a 175-pound rookie. Not that he can't handle the wear and tear of a football season. It's just his first time playing an NFL, going through an entire NFL season. So, I mean, I'm not breaking any new ground. That group is a mess right now, and I think they have to bolster it probably twice at this point. Maybe if Juju ends up being good to go, you can make one big swing at the top, but I have emotionally prepared for the MVS reunion.
So if you look at where their wide receivers are, we know that they're a problem. We know there's been some questions to tackle, but at what point is the average depth of target a real conversation with Mahomes and be like, we can't keep living like this. I don't like having a Lamborghini and then just forcing it to throw it -1 yards per pass. Yeah. And I guess to that point, how long until it's a real conversation, and who is more responsible for it? Is this Mahomes becoming more gun-shy as they've had to be closer to the line of scrimmage? Or is this Andy Reid just reining it all in because of his lack of confidence in that group?
Answer to question number one, now, or maybe yesterday.
Okay. Conversation, got it.
Absolutely. We should be talking about it now, especially with, like, Brock Purdy, the dink and dunk guy you think of, right? He is blazing down the field, especially compared to Mahomes at this point. Not that that's making him a better quarterback right now, but how he's playing, we'll see that on Sunday. And then to the question of the chicken and egg there of who does it really lie on, it's a mix of everybody. So your analogy, I think, is right. You've got this Lambo you pull out of the garage, and then you take it one block at a time.
In a school zone, driving 20.
Yes. You're taking your kid to school, dropping them off and saying, all right, well, green light, okay, I'm good, and nope, so we gotta stop again. The entire offense has felt kind of stop and start that way, and that's not even the running game. I'm talking specifically about that aspect of the passing game, because the running game is actually, you know, you're driving a tractor and it's getting you 5 yards at a time. It feels pretty good. With the tackles and the depth of target thing, I think it's a super important conversation, and it's going to dictate what this offense looks like the remainder of the year. Wanya Morris has been all right, is what I would say. He has not been worse than Donovan Smith was last year. He's been better than he himself was in his early action. Plus, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think he's around like 10 games as a starter now or something around that. Sure. It's not like he's played a lot of football. So obviously Kingsley has the higher ceiling. And I frankly was really surprised that the Chiefs didn't go right back to Kingsley in week 3. But Wanya has been fine. And I think he has room to grow. Juwan Taylor has been pretty good, especially in pass protection, but the penalties are crushing, and you understand that. So, in terms of where the responsibility lies, you even had a couple of bad games from Joe Tooney, which makes sense. He's over 30 and came back from a pec injury, and he's trying to bench press nose tackles. I understand, you know, why that maybe may have been a process for him, but he looked good against the Saints. You have these blips on the radar where the offensive line does not do what Mahomes needs. And I think Mahomes then has really developed, and this started last year from both the receivers and the O-line, he's really developed some legitimate trust issues that has made him a little bit worse, that's made the offense look a little bit worse. So by and large, you can levy lots of fair criticism to where the line has not been elite, but you've got a lot of elite quarterbacks who are playing at a higher level behind worse offensive lines. I don't know if the bye week will have given Mahomes a chance to settle in, review the film, and kind of figure out when he's seeing real pressure versus kind of false pressures, what teams have been doing with little stunts, showing him an open edge and then looping around a defensive lineman to pop into that spot and close off that side of the field, usually on the right side where he'd rather go. There are some things that defenses have been doing to exacerbate that. And unfortunately, Mahomes has been playing into it a little bit at times. He has room to be better. The line has room to be better. I would probably put a smidge more of that responsibility on Mahomes because he's Patrick Mahomes. And Wanya Morris is not Trent Williams. It's probably 50-50 responsibility, but I'm putting more trust in Mahomes to fix it.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, his practice window has been opened up. We all know he hasn't played this season. 4 running backs potentially are in play here. I don't know if it'll be this Sunday or at least could be the next Sunday. Eventually, Isaiah Pacheco's back. How do you see this working itself out? They're not going to have 4 active running backs on a Sunday, are they?
I didn't think so, and then I said that question even more skeptically to one Nate Taylor yesterday, and the face he made me think that I was wrong.
Okay. Because, like, maybe?
And maybe Carson Steele gets put more into a fullbacky role, and we don't really talk about it that way, but the crazy thing there would be 4 backs, 4 tight ends, 5 wide receivers. That's not modern football. So with the rotation now and the way that the coaches have talked about Clyde when asked about it this week, from Andy to Matt Nagy, it sounded to me like Clyde is probably the fourth running back right now. And for me, I would just go ahead and let him be a healthy scratch. They haven't used his roster spot for anything all year, so they could effectively have been thinking about him as a healthy scratch throughout this entire time, despite being on the NFI list. I'm obviously glad that he is working his way back and is in a place where it looks like he's going to be able to return to playing football again. That's fabulous. But of the four running backs currently active on this roster, I think he has the least to do. Samaje Perine is a better third down back and better pass catcher and pass protector. Kareem Hunt is the best active runner on this team right now. And you could make an argument that the Chiefs and Andy Reid in particular would rather have Clyde out there running in the offense than a rookie, undrafted, fumbling rookie in Carson Steele. But Clyde can't do what Steele's asked to do on special teams. And I think the Chiefs are fine with him in that role. So right now, if they needed to cut down on one of those eight running back / tight end positions, I'd leave Clyde down this week personally. I don't know that there's a real role for him unless they just want to have another back available, which I would understand considering how that room has been depleted so far.
I already called it. It's a lock. They're going to have a three tight end set with an offset eye position with Carson Steele. Motion. It's going to be handoff to Steele for a 1 yard gain on a first down. I've just already decided that at some
point, a touchdown, Josh, just 1 yard.
Just a regular 1 yard first down on like second and one, you know? Why are they in the I form?
That's perfect, because then on second and nine, they can run a draw to Clyde, and then they can make it third and eight.
Yeah, that's they love it to run in second and nine. What scares you about San Francisco, since we're going to look at their opponent for half a minute? Defensively, they have not been nearly as good. They've also been banged up there significantly. I think Brock Purdy's once again playing his best football. He has legitimately improved, in my mind, every single game he's been in the NFL. What scares you about them?
I'm with you on Purdy. I think it's been kind of funny to watch the narrative shift as the Niners as a team have been less successful, but Purdy's been really, really good. A lot of the narratives of like, oh, he's underrated because they're winning, kind of flipped. And now I think a lot of the film watchers and the analytics folks have all really been kind of buying Purdy's stock at this point, and I've seen it too. The funny thing, this is sort of the opposite, I suppose, of what scares me. I'm excited to see what Spags does, because he's been so good against the Niners and so good against Shanahan offenses. In particular, you know, think about when they have Kyle Juszczyk on the field and they get those really condensed formations as an offense. They shrink everything together. It's all in just that orb in the middle of the field. Well, when the Chiefs can condense themselves defensively, blitzers can come from anywhere, and that's what Spags loves to do all the time. Have Leo Chanel out there opposite Kyle Juszczyk. If he's not getting the ball, I'd like to have Chanel going 100 miles an hour down whatever gap or whatever offensive lineman's face is in front of him. Go ahead and have your defensive backs blitzing off the edge when you're condensed. That matchup is exciting to me, and it's why I'm not that worried, even though weapons have obviously been depleted for the Niners this year as well with the injuries, and Purdy's been really good. I like the Chiefs' side of the ball there. I'm buying the Chiefs' defense in that matchup in large part because of what we've seen from Spags versus Shanahan and other Shanahan offenses. I am a little bit worried defensively, in part just kind of snowballing on the Chiefs' current issues. I know their defense has not been the 49ers' defense of old, but if you say, yeah, well, we've got an elite pass rusher and an elite linebacker, and right now you've got a young left tackle you're not that confident in, a right tackle that can be susceptible to jumping when a pass rusher gets into his head, you've got an old tight end who's clearly your number one back or your number one target. I don't know what they're going to do with Xavier Worthy. I don't know how much it will matter depending on how the Chiefs use him. I don't even necessarily think the Niners have, like, great matchups for the Chiefs' offensive issues. The Chiefs just have so few offensive buttons to push right now that I think it might be enough, and that's what worries me. I'm leaning towards this being a pretty low-scoring game at this point.
Josh Briscoe, he's our Chiefs contributor. He joins us each and every Friday. He's the editor over at ChiefsOnSI.com. Appreciate it, man, and we'll check in next week.
Sounds good. I'll have a drink.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For you.